This past Shabbos, we read the Teichecha, the klolos that can happen, that can occur, and unfortunately we have seen happen over the years. And there's a very famous pasuk, which is very hard to understand, where at the end of the Teichecha, that we always read, close to Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara tells us, Shetich L'shanah V'Klolosaha, that as the year ends, all the klolos, all the difficulties should end. We've had so many difficulties. It's looking at this past summer, specifically in Eretz Yisrael, but in America as well, and throughout the world. There's been many, it's a year, especially over the last few months, full of klola. We're hoping Tich L'shanah V'Klolosaha, that it'll be the end of all that. Only bracha. In fact, we also only read it. We read it 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. There's a break that we don't want it even. We don't want it so close to Rosh Hashanah. We want a week in between. It's not the last parsha before Rosh Hashanah. We don't want to connect these kolos to Rosh Hashanah, to the new year. The Bezer Hashem will be a year of simcha, your bracha, your geula for all of Klal Yisrael. The pasuk tells us towards the end of the Teichecha, what is the reason why all this will occur? And it's very strange. I'm sure you've heard the question before, and the pasuk before, Tachas asher lo yavadta as Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uv'tuv levav meirov hakol. We could translate that all this will happen because you're not serving Hashem, your God, b'simcha uv'tuv levav, with a full heart, meirov hakol, whatever that means, we'll get back to it, from everything else. B'simcha uv'tuv levav, you're not serving Hashem b'simcha. And it's very strange. Pasha pshat in the pasuk. We're serving Hashem. You're going to minyan 3 times a day. You're going to daven. You're going to learn. You're coming to seder. You're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. Check them all off the list. Making my brachas. Kivut aveim. All checked. But it's not b'simcha. I'm not doing it with passion, with love, with joy. Comes along the klolos, the toichecha. Very strange. It's one thing to say it's not the highest level of avodas Hashem, even though it's Hashem b'simcha, but to say that all the klolos are going to occur because of this, it's very hard to understand what pshat is. Maybe we could understand based on a very famous Or HaChaim that was earlier in the parasha. Or HaChaim HaKadosh, one of the more famous Or HaChaims. So earlier in the parasha, towards the beginning of the parasha, when discussing the Bikurim, the pasuk says, "V'samachta b'chol hatoiv." You'll be happy with all the good. The opposite, "Asher lo yavad Hashem b'simcha." V'samachta b'chol hatoiv. And the Rechaim HaKadosh has a pshat. He says, "What does it mean, v'samachta b'chol hatoiv? What does it mean to be happy with all the good?" Gam yirmos b'marmer b'chol hatoiv el hatoira. That the Rebbeinu Shalom b'chol hatoiv is hinting to what? To Torah. As it says in Avos Perech Vav, Mishnah Gimel, V'ein Toiv Ela Torah. There's no good but Torah. Toiv is referring to Torah. Ki Lekach Toiv V'nasati Lachem. I've given you a Lekach Toiv. As Torahsi. Ein Toiv Ela Torah. She'im, and the Archaim goes on, She'im Hayu B'nei Adam Margishim B'mesikus V'arevas Toiv HaTorah. If a person understood and felt the sweetness and the pleasantness, the beauty, the sivcha shel Torah, hayu mishtogim umislatim achra, we'd be literally mishugana over it. We'd be running after it. We'd be mamish going crazy over Torah. That's what I want more than anything else. That's what I can't wait to do. That's what I can't wait to be a part of. That's where my simcha sachaim should come from. And then what? We go running after it. We wouldn't care at all. We wouldn't look after the gold, the silver, the other physical desires and aspirations would be gone. The Torah has within it all the good in the entire world. Thus state Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So with this Or HaChaim in mind, We understand the Torah is anachamad mizav. When we pause, rav mesukim midvash, the sweetest, most pleasant, most special, more chashiv than all the gold and diamonds. We understand that inherent in Torah is simcha. That inherent in the avodas Hashem is simcha zachayim. And therefore, if I'm not feeling the simcha and the tuv lev in my learning, in my avodas Hashem, it could be I'm not really learning. I'm not really being an avod Hashem. It's there. It's part of it. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It's not just that I don't have the simcha. It's not just that I don't have the tuv lev. If it's inherent in it, it means I'm lacking. There's something wrong. My avodas Hashem is not the avodas Hashem it should be. That's what we understand. It's within Torah. It's within mitzvahs. Rabbi Nishlam, the Eibishter knows who created us. Who created us? We all know. The Rabbi Nishlam created us. The Rabbi Nishlam created us. You don't think He knows what's best for us? He knows what brings us the most simcha. I once heard a mashal from Rav Avram Shor. Amazing mashal. Some of you might have been there. I don't remember. One of the years, some of the chever came. We went to Rav Shor on a Chanukah. I don't remember what year it was. I don't know none of this chever. I don't remember what year it was. One year we went on Chanukah to Rav Shor, my shir and Rabbi Weberman's shir. And he told an amazing mashal. He said there was a woman in Eretz Yisrael, an alter yid, a real sabra, only spoke Hebrew, not a word of English. Still, you know, we go to Eretz Yisrael, we don't have to speak Hebrew anymore. You speak to everyone in English, right? Pretty much. There's some yidden, they still don't even speak a word. I remember I took my son to a rav, to meet with a rav, this was years ago, a rav that I'm close to, Rav Herman, lives in Ramat Shlomo. And after we spoke, we were with him for a while, my son says to my son, at the time Shmuel was probably 6, 7 years old, this goes back a bunch of years ago, he says to him, thank you. And the rav turns and says, mazeh, todah? Mamish didn't even know hardly knew what thank you was. And this woman, she didn't know a word of English. And she was always into cooking. She'd cook all the time. And somebody saw, and she was always chopping up vegetables, and said, why don't you buy yourself a food processor? Now this was an older woman. She didn't even know what a food processor was. So her neighbor decides she's going to do a favor. She orders a food processor for this woman to chop up all the vegetables, to make her job much easier in the cooking process. And the food processor comes to her, but it was ordered from America, and it comes, and all the instructions are in English. She doesn't know how to use it. She doesn't know how to read a word of English. So she goes to her neighbor and says, could you explain to me what's said in the instruction manual? What's going on? How do I use this? And he starts reading. He says, you have to turn it on by flipping this, and you lock this in over here. And then it says, and by the way, when the machine's turned on, never stick your hand inside. And the woman gets all upset. Never stick my hand inside. How am I going to feel around to know if the vegetables are chopped up the way I want them? How am I going to know what's going on? Never stick my hand inside. Terrible machine. And then he reads the next. It says, and when the machine is on, never immerse it in water. Never immerse it in water. Never immerse it in water. I usually cook right next to my sink, which often is full of water, and I'm soaking my potatoes in there. That's where I want to cook. This is terrible. What kind of machine did you get me? The individual says, don't you understand? This instruction manual is teaching you how to gain the most from the product. The one who wrote this is the one who created it. And understands, if you stick your hand in when the machine is on, it's not going to just chop up your potatoes, it's going to chop up your fingers. And if you turn on the machine when it's immersed in water, it's going to electrocute you. The rules and regulations, the instruction manual is teaching you not how to get the least out of the machine like you think, but how to get the most out of the machine, how to enjoy it to the best of your ability, how to get the most hana. So too, Ribbono Shel Olam created the world and created us. And the Creator can write the instruction manual. And what's the instruction manual, Chevra? The instruction manual is Torah. Torah. The instruction manual is Torah. So Torah is teaching us how to gain the most, how to enjoy the most. Ein toiv ela Torah. Ein toiv ela Torah. So if it means we're not doing it. We're missing out completely. We're missing the boat. That's why all the klal is coming. Why are we missing the boat? What are we doing wrong? Why are we missing the boat? What are we missing? What are we lacking? If I am a yid who is going to daven and a yid who is learning, what are we missing? Why don't I feel that simcha? Why don't I feel the tuv levav? What's going on? How could it be? If ein toiv ela Torah, so I should have it. It should be normal. It's inherent. It should be natural. Why is it not? Maybe we could suggest, based on a Torah, from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Toldos Yaakov Yosef was the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Toldos Yaakov Yosef brought down a lot of the Torah we have from the Baal Shem Tov, is from the Talmud of Yaakov Yosef. Toldos Yaakov Yosef explains as follows. He explains it, if I'm not mistaken, by Makas Choshech in Parshas Bo. And he says as follows. He comes from a place as follows. He says, by Makas Choshech, he asks, what's Pshat by Makas Choshech? We know by all the Makos, the Yidden and the Mitzrim had a completely different reality. So for example, it's already famous, right? We all know by Dam, so the Yidden had water and the Mitzrim had blood. And even if they were drinking from one cup, somehow the Yid would drink water and the Mitzri would drink blood. And kachavei by all the makos. We know in Goshen, none of the makos were going on. None of the difficulties in the Saras. But what happened by makos Bechoros? How could it be? By makos Choshech, I'm sorry. What happened by makos Choshech? What was the reality? So we can understand the reality of Goshen being light and Mitzrayim being dark. But we said if a Yid came into Mitzrayim, it would be light for him. So what was that? Does that mean the Yidden had X-ray vision? It was actually very, very dark, and the Yidden had X-ray vision during that period of time? He says, no. You know what it was? So Yaakov Yosef says, the son of Rebbe says as well, you might actually have quoted from Tzolz Yaakov Yosef, if I'm not mistaken. He says that actually the Makas Choshech was mamish the most unbelievable light. It was the Or HaGanuz being brought back into the world, that hidden light that Rashi talks about in Parshas Bereishis. That hidden light that's so powerful, that spiritual light that's overpowering to those who can't handle it, that was Makas Choshech. And what does it mean? We know. If a light is too bright, it's blinding, right? If we look at the sun for too long, it's blinding and becomes black, becomes dark. It darkens our world. So this light was a spiritual light that the Mitzrim couldn't handle. To the Mitzrim, that light that was so spiritual was Choshech, was darkness. It was such a strong choshech that it was mamish, it froze them in place. It was so strong. To the Yidden, it was Or B'Moshe Oseihem. They were able to connect to that ruchnius. In fact, we could understand then why it was specifically during choshech, the 4/5 of the Yidden died. Those were the 4/5 that couldn't handle that ruchnius. It was so overpowering that the neshamas just jumped out because of that ruchnius. So we see there's a circumstance where the same circumstance to some people's choshech and to some people's kulo ruchni or. So that could be meaning the Torah is full of toiv, but to some people we're not feeling it, we're not tasting it. But why not? So Tzolz Yaakov Yosef explains why not. He goes on. B'derech Drush, we know in Parshas B'Shalach, the Yidden left Mitzrayim, and for 3 days, they didn't find any water. And they finally get where? Where do they find water? Where is it? What's the place called? Mara. And the water was bitter. So he asks, we know, B'derech Drush, Ein Mayim El Torah. Ein Mayim El Torah. So they finally find Mayim, and it's Mara? Ein Toiv El Torah. Why was the water bitter? Why was the water bitter? So Tzolz Yaakov Yosef explains, because Vayolchu Shloshes Yamim B'li Mayim. They went 3 days without water. They went 3 days without water. When you go 3 days without water, you go 3 days without Torah. You're desensitized to it. You don't feel it. You don't pick up on the ruchnius of it. You went 3 days without it, and then when you hit it, it's mara to you. It's bitter to you. We don't appreciate the sweetness of it, even though inherently it might be sweet. Inherently it might be or. But to me, it's choshech. Because I haven't been in it. I haven't been tasting it. It's an acquired taste. But I'd like to go further. It's not just that for us, it's not just that necessarily we're not learning for 3 days. Maybe we are learning for 3 days, but not as much as we can, not with as much asmada, not with as much amelus as we can. And it's more than that. It's when you separate from Torah, what are we involved with? We're involved with so much else. I'm involved, whether it's big time in Yonei Taiva, or we rationalize mutter, hanoa mutter in Yonei Taiva, whether it's I'm so involved, too much so in sports, how much football did I watch yesterday, or whether I allow myself to look at on the internet, what I allow myself to look at, and there's so much else going on in my life, where then when I go into Ruchnis, I can't appreciate it the same way. I'll tell you B'derech Mashal. I'll tell you B'derech Mashal. I might have shared this Mashal with the Chaver once before last year. But you know, I personally, I love orange juice. Love orange juice. Just Tropicana. None of the others got it right. I don't know. I never will understand how that is because they all say they're 100% freshly squeezed orange juice. I don't know what Tropicana puts into their oranges that it's so much different and so much tastier than any other orange juice. But Kachavi, that's how it is. Tropicana is just much better. I don't know. I think that's objective truth, not subjective truth. But that's, I guess that obviously is an argument and makes it subjective. But Lamaisa, it is what it is. So at the same time, and we all know this, if at night you go and you brush your teeth, and then you go and you pour yourself out, right after you brush your teeth, pour yourself a cup of orange juice, even Tropicana, and you put it and you taste it. It's disgusting. The same Tropicana orange juice is disgusting. Now we all know and understand that inherently that Tropicana orange juice is the same Tropicana orange juice. And if someone else tasted it, it might be delicious. What's the problem? Your mouth is coated in toothpaste, and your taste buds are completely off, and you're tasting the orange juice through the coating of the toothpaste, and it's disgusting. Kachavef, or my life is so much involved in Gashmi. I'm so involved in the other world. I'm involved in whatever it might be, whether it's taivas that are isurim or taivas of heter, if we're too involved in it. Whatever it might be, whether it's running after money, running after sports, running after taivas noshim, whatever we're involved with. I'm coating my neshama, I'm coating my soul with that choyshech, with that darkness. So I can't appreciate the beautiful taste of Torah mitzvahs. I can't appreciate the inherent simcha of it. That's what the pasuk means at the end, perhaps. The pasuk says, "Tachas ashelovad Hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tuvleiva." All the clothes are happening because I'm not serving Hashem b'simcha v'tuvleiva. I'm not serving Hashem with complete simcha. And how's the pasuk end? Meroiv hakol. And maybe we could suggest meroiv hakol means because of everything else. Meroiv hakol, from everything else going on in my life. You know why I don't have the simcha? Because I have so much else going on in my life. My life is not Torah. My life is not mitzvahs. My there's so much else going on. I happen to also go to Minyan. I happen to also learn a little every day. But that's not my life. A yid who, even if he has to be involved, vada we do with lumudei kochol and working, but their ikar is still Torah mitzvahs. It's not meirov hakol. Everything else is superfluous, is secondary, is tuffle. My ikar is then, there's no meirov hakol. There's nothing else going on. I'm not coding my neshama. Inherently, it's v'simachta b'chol ha-toiv. I feel the simcha of Torah. And I'd feel it naturally because it's there. And if it's not, because I'm involved in so much else. That's our avoida. Our avoida is to free ourselves so that we appreciate the natural beauty and simcha of Torah. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos says it beferish. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, says when a person's choyli haguf, a person's physically sick, toy amim hamar matoik vamatok mar. Sometimes something that's bitter tastes sweet, something that's sweet tastes bitter, our taste buds are off. We've all been through that when we're sick. Even a very simple sickness, you have the flu, you're even a cold, things don't taste the same way as they generally would. I'm not feeling well, the most delicious steak doesn't taste like the most delicious steak. Because I'm off. I'm physically off. My whole I'm choyli haguf. So too, we'll skip a little. Kach b'nei Adam shenaf shaseim cholos v'oyevim adeos haros. Someone who also their soul is sick and they're loving that which is bad, that which is not good for us, and we're involved in so much else. So then, v'kveda lem l'ma'oid l'fi cholim. So the Torah and Avodas Hashem is very heavy. It doesn't taste good. It's not what it mar l'masok u'masok l'mar. So it's true in Chayli HaGuf, it's true in Chayli HaNefesh. We have to sensitize ourselves to the beauty and the simcha and the sweetness of Torah. Very famous in the Akdam of the Eglei Tal, where the Eglei Tal discusses that Torah Lishma is full of simcha, full of tanug. That it should be that way. That's the way it's supposed to be. Haloimed umis aneg bilimudo harimis orev bilimuno gam hanos atzmo. When you learn and full of pleasure in your learning and sweetness and pleasantness, you feel good, you have a benefit. That's what we want. Zehu ikr mitzvos liman haTorah liosos v'sameach umis aneg bilimudo v'az divrei Torah niflam b'dmo. And when you're simchadik in our learning and appreciate it, it's going to be absorbed into our blood. We'll become one with that. And I'm davuk to Torah when I love it. That's what I want to be a part of. But we have to understand it's not something that's so difficult. It's something attainable as long as we move away from a roiv akol. It's natural. The Torah inherently is toiv. It's the sweetest thing in the world. Halavai, each and every one of us should taste and feel and appreciate the beauty, the mesikus, the sweetness, the simcha of Torah mitzvos. And then by default, we're just going to be, as the Archaim go crazy, that's all we're going to want in our life, to be connected to Torah. Through that, we'll be Davik Takarish Baruch Hu, we'll be Zoicha Vada to Ksiv Chsim Atoiva, full of simcha and full of bracha.
Can you text me?